to say he is Fardun Samad. And here he's referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Fardun Samad. As for the name Fard, it has not been mentioned in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The name Fard has not been mentioned in the Quran or the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to describe Allah. Firstly. Secondly, we see that the Master Fard isn't Allah, as Allah did not describe himself as Fard, nor did his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describe himself as Fard. And that some of the ulama, and everyone is subject to mistakes, have mentioned the word Fard in describing Allah because it is a synonym for the word Witr. It's a synonym for the word Witr. It means the exact same thing as Witr. And if I would have translated the word Fard into English, or the word Witr into English, meaning odd, odd as opposed to, I forgot the opposite of odd, even, as opposed to even, odd as opposed to even, and not odd meaning strange, but odd as opposed to even, if I would have translated the word Fard into English, it would have the same translation as the word Witr, and because of that, I left the word Fard in the Arabic, so that we can see that Fard is not one of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it's not mentioned in the Quran or in the Sunnah, but what is mentioned is the word Witr, and it's more proper for us to use the word Witr, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and forgive our Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari, rahimahullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has established for us in many hadith that Allah is witr, or Allah is odd as opposed to even, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the narration of Abu Ya'la, and this is authentic, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وِتْرٌ يُحَبُّ الْوِتْرِ فَإِذَا اسْتَجْمَرْتَ فَأُوتِرٌ. That indeed Allah is witr, and He loves witr. That He's witr, and He loves witr, or He loves the odd as opposed to even. So if any one of you, after you relieved yourself and you're wiping yourselves to clean yourselves, then you should clean yourselves or wipe yourselves with the odd number, as the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us in this hadith. And also this narration is in Al-Bukhari Muslim. Indeed, Allah is witr, and He loves witr. In the narration of Tirmidhi, the Messenger of Allah وسلم, says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وِتْرٌ يُحِبُّ الْوِتْرُ فَأَوْتِرُوا يَا أَهْلَ الْقُرْآنِ. Indeed, Allah is witr, and He loves witr, or the odd. So all the people who have memorized a portion of the Qur'an, then I command you to make the witr salat. As the witr salat, or the night salat, is the time for the people who have memorized the Quran to review the Quran in the night salat when they're making the salat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sister asks, is there anywhere that states if you do not make salat that you are a kafir? No, it isn't stated anywhere that if you do not make salat that you are kafir. But what is stated is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man taraka salat faqad kafir." Whoever leaves the salat has disbelieved or has kafir. Not that he is a kafir, but he has kafir, and that this is the wording of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we're going to take a look at these types of texts when we discuss the issue that a Muslim is never considered a kafir because of any sin that he commits. When we get to that issue, inshallah, we're going to bring the text like this text that would seemingly appear that a Muslim, if he committed this type of sin, that he would actually become a kafir. How do we deal with the thief in this country? Please explain what the scholars say. The scholars say the same thing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says: make hijrah to the land of the Muslims so that you can practice and establish Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witrun, and he loves the witr or the ad, and that this is what is authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not fard, though they both have the same meaning of ad as opposed to even. And then the Shaykh mentions that Allah is Samad, and Samad is one of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we see in the Surah Al-Ikhlas, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad. Say he, Allah, is Ahad, or one, Allah as-Samad. Allah is as-Samad, and as-Samad is the meaning of as-Samad is the one on whom all depend, the one in which everyone is in need of. He is as-Samad, and he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everyone is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah is al-Ghani, or the rich, and everyone else is poor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in many authentic hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-Samad, and has described Allah as as-Samad. And I wanted to mention some of these hadith because of the virtues that we can benefit from these hadith, as the hadith of Imam al-Nasa'i and Imam Ahmad rahimahumallah, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had entered a masjid, and a man had just finished making his salah, and he was sitting down yatashahud, he was sitting down making the statement of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, or remembering the oneness of Allah, and he was saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka ya Allahul wahidul ahadul samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad an taghfira li dhunubi innaka antal ghafurur rahim. فقال النبي الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قد غفر له ثلاث مرات. And this hadith is authentic, where that man, after he had completed his salah, he was saying, O Allah, I ask you, O Allah, Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad, Al-Samad, the one who does not beget, nor is he begotten, and none is comparable to him, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Indeed, you are Al-Ghafur Rahim. Indeed, you are the acceptor of forgiveness and the merciful. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he has been forgiven, he has been forgiven, he has been forgiven three times. So here we see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is hearing someone make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by mentioning his beautiful name As-Samad, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that his sins would be forgiven. And that's the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka ya Allah al-wahidu al-ahadu as-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad an taghfira li dhunubi innaka antal ghafur rahim. Also in this next hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, As-Samad, and we see the virtues of this hadith, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard a man making dua, and he said, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ashhadu annaka anta Allah la ilaha illa anta al-ahadu as-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَقَدْ سَأَلَ اللَّهَ بِاسْمِهِ الْأَعْظَمِ الَّذِي إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ وَإِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى. And this hadith is authentically collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, where the man was making the dua as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was listening, O Allah, I ask, indeed I am asking you, and I bear witness that indeed you are Allah. No deity has the right to be worshipped except you. You are Al-Ahad, Al-Samad. You don't beget, nor will you be gotten, and none is comparable to you. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hands. And here I want to make a point for the ignorant. In the Arabic language, it's very common to swear by Allah, though no one asked you to swear by Allah. But this is to show emphasis for the statement that you're making, that you swear by Allah, and that this is common, and that this is different from the one who is swearing before his testimony was asked, as if the people are coming to accuse him. Let's find the brother who stole from the sadaqah. We heard he's upstairs on the musalla. The brothers on the musalla, they hear the brothers coming up looking for the brothers who sold them the sadaqah. I swear by Allah, I didn't do it. I swear by Allah. Nobody asked you to swear about anything. We know who did it and we're going to find them. This type of swearing, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has discouraged the people from doing it, and that this is a sign of the last hour where the people would be swearing before they were asked to swear. This is different from the swearing by Allah to show the emphasis of the statement that you're making. And we ask those brothers who did not understand this difference that they understand this difference, as they have accused me of swearing by Allah without asking to be, without the people asking me to swear. This is a statement that has come custom with me as learning Arabic, that sometimes I take the mannerisms or the customs from speaking Arabic, and I might even use that language in English sometimes. And this is by swearing by Allah to show the emphasis to a point, as the Prophet is showing the emphasis here by saying, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand, that indeed he has asked Allah by his greatest name, the one that if you ask Allah by it, he will answer your dua. If you make dua to Allah by this name, he will answer your dua. And if you ask for something by this name, then Allah would give it to you. And they say that this beautiful name of Allah is Allah. That this greatest name of Allah is Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also mentioned in the authentic hadith also collected by Imam At-Tirmidhi, that the greatest name of Allah is in these two verses. And he had mentioned the verses that mentions the word Allah الذي لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم from Surah Al-Baqarah, and the verse Alif Lam Mim, the first verse of Surah Ali Imran, Alif Lam Mim, Allah لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. And that some people say it might be that he's referring to الرحمن الرحيم or الحي القيوم from these two verses, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Let me just check that Ali Imran. That verse in Surah Al-Baqarah is verse number 163, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ, and your deity is one deity. No one has the right to be worshipped except him. He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallam is showing us that whoever makes a dua by praising Allah in this manner, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would answer his dua, and that is, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ashhadu annaka anta Allah la ilaha illa anta الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this last hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari also mentions the beautiful name of Allah, as-Samad, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, قال الله تعالى كذبني ابن آدم ولم يكن له ذلك وشتمني ولم يكن له ذلك فأما تكذيبه إياي فقوله لن يعيدني كما بدأني وليس أول الخلق بأهون علي من إعادته وأما شتمه إياي فقوله اتخذ الله ولدا وأنا الأحد الصمد
لم ألد ولم أولد ولم يكن لي كفوا أحد. Here, in this authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah Ta'ala says that the children of Adam have lied on me, and they didn't have a right to do so, and they have insulted me, and they didn't have the right to do so. As for their lie on me, it is their statement that he will not be able to bring us back, as he has created us the first time. And Allah goes on to say, and the first creation isn't more difficult for me than the second creation, or bringing them back to life again. And as for their insulting me, it's their statement that Allah has taken to himself a son, and I am Al-Ahad Al-Samad, I do not beget, nor was I begotten, and I don't have anyone comparable to me. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us his beautiful name, Al-Samad, in this authentic hadith. And he's also clarifying the point that those Jews and Christians, by making that statement that Allah has a son, has actually lied on Allah. That they have lied on Allah from this statement. And Allah hasn't given them the right to lie on Allah. And how in the world can we think good of those people, and that they are going to be from the people of Jannah after they have lied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they didn't have the right to do so? Then the Shaykh, after he has said, and Allah Azza wa Jal is only one deity, there is no deity to be worshipped in truth except him. He is a fard, and it's better for us to say witr, a samad. He has not taken a marriage partner or a son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this issue of not taking a marriage partner in two ayats in the Quran, as he says in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 101, Badi'u as-samawati wal-ard anna yakunu lahu walad wa lam yakun lahu sahiba wa khalaqa kulla shay'in wa huwa bi kulli shay'in 'alim. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is the badi' of the heavens and the earth. And the badi' is the originator, or the founder, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So how can he have a son? And he has not taken for himself a marriage partner, but he has created everything, and he has knowledge over all things, or he is alim over everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Jinn, verse number 3, وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدًا. And he is exalted, our Lord is exalted, and he has not taken to himself a marriage partner nor a child. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in this verse that he has not taken to himself a marriage partner, subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor has he taken to himself a son, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in many verses in the Quran, and we'll mention just a few of them as we start off with verse number 171 from Surah An-Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says towards the end of that verse, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَ إِنْتَهُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ سُبْحَانَهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I command you to believe in Allah and his messengers, and don't say three, or don't say the Trinity. Stop saying it. It is better for you. Allah is only one God, one deity. Subhanahu, glory be to him. How can he have a child? Or he is high above or free from having a child or a son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-An'am, verse 101, where we mentioned, and this was the verse that we just mentioned, that he didn't have a marriage partner, and how could he have a son? Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Maryam, verse number 35, مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ أَن يَتَّخِذَ مِن وَلَدٍ سُبْحَانَهُ إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. That it is not proper for Allah to have a son. He is free from that. He is high above that. Whenever he wants to do something, he only says to it, be, and it is. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the miraculous birth of Isa ibn Maryam, being born without a father, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't father Isa ibn Maryam, but that he's from the commandment be, and it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verses 91 and 92, مَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ إِلَهٌ إِذًا لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَهٍ بِمَا خَلَقَ وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah has not taken for himself a son, nor are there any deities or gods with him. And if there were, each deity or each god would take that which it is it has created, and some of them would have conquered others of them, and Allah is glorified and free above what they ascribe to him. He is the alim al-ghaybi wa-shahad, or the knower of the unseen and the seen, and he is high above those that they take as partners with him. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that he has not taken to himself a son, and that there are no deities with him. And if there were any gods with Allah, then each god would be fighting over his creation, and some of them would have conquered others of them. But that Allah is free or high above that which they ascribe to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in Surah Al-Anbiya, verses 22 onward, لو كان فيهما آلهة إلا الله لفسدتا فسبحان الله رب العرش عما يصفون لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if there were in the heavens and the earth gods or deities or objects of worship other than Allah, then everything would have been destroyed, because each god would have been doing his own thing. That how could all of the creation of the heavens and the earth go in the harmony and the harmony that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed it to go in, if everybody or there were many gods and deities in charge? And this is, as we would see, if there was in the household or an organization or whatever, if you had more than one leader, then you would see a lot of chaos, as each leader would be doing his own program, and the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even greater. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanallah, Allah is free or high above whatever they ascribe to him. Subhanallah Rabbil Arsh, the Lord of the throne is high above what they ascribe to him. He will not be asked about what he did, but they will be questioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that Allah is not going to be questioned about what he did by his creating what he has created and establishing for us La ilaha illallah as our goal and purpose in life. That Allah is not going to be questioned about that, but that we're going to be questioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Kahf, verses 4 and 5, وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and warn those people who say that Allah has a son. And warn those people that say Allah has a son. They do not have any knowledge, nor do their forefathers have any knowledge. Evil is the statement that comes out of their mouths. They are only saying a lie. And here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the etiquette of how to deal with those people who say that Allah has a son, and that we should just warn them. This is an evil statement that you're saying. Stop saying it. Turn to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes your life and punishes you with a painful chastisement. And we'll just mention this last verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, verse number 111, وَقُولِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِّنَ الظُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I command you to say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, the one who has not taken for himself a son, nor does he have any partner in his mulk or in his kingdom or dominion, and he has not any wali because of his weakness. Allah doesn't have any guardian to look out for him because he's weak. So kabbirhu takbira, so magnify Allah as he ought to be magnified. Allahu Akbar. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that Allah does not have a child, he doesn't have a marriage partner, nor does he have any type of partner, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah has commanded us to establish this point and this fact in our life, as he says in Surah Al-An'am, verses 162 and 163, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And this, with this ayah, we're going to end off the explanation of the Shaykh's statement. And Allah Azza wa Jal is one deity. No deity has the right to be worshipped except Him. He is witrun, samad. He has not taken a marriage partner or a son. As Allah commands us, I command you to say, indeed my salah and my acts of worship, my life and my death are all for Allah, Rabbul Alameen. He has no partner. For this I have been commanded, and I am the first to willingly submit to him as a Muslim. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear for us that we should state and we should remind ourselves that our salah and all our acts of worship, our slaughtering, our life and our death are all for Allah. Lord of all the worlds, He has no partner. We have been commanded of this, and we should be among the first people to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he then goes on to say, and Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. He was sent with guidance and the religion of truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many verses in his Quran has titled his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a slave, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does here in Surah Al-Jin, verse number 19, وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ كَادُوا يَقُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse says, and when his when the slave of Allah stood up and called them, gave the da'wah to them, and this is to the jinn, they all crowded around him so much to listen to the da'wah. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse showed that the jinn used to listen to the recitation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was reciting the Quran, because of the beautiful recitation of our Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling him the slave of Allah. And when the slave of Allah stood up and called the people, called the jinn. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling him a slave. In Surah Al-Alaq, verses 9 and 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also calling him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a slave. As Allah says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبَدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. Do you see the one that prevents his slave when he is making salah? And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Abu Jahl. the Fir'aun of this ummah. That he tried to prevent the Prophet ﷺ from making salah. When the Prophet used to go to the Kaaba, that he would try to prevent the Messenger of Allah ﷺ from making salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do you see that one who tries to prevent his slave from making salah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a slave. So we shouldn't think that the Shaykh, when he says, and Muhammad is his slave, as if he's degrading the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by calling him a slave. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his Quran is calling him a slave, as we see in the Surah Al-Baqarah verse 23, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبِدِينَا فَاتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ, to the end of that verse where Allah says, and if you have any doubt about that which we have revealed to our slave, this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking about the Quran, then bring a surah like it, bring a chapter like it. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also calling him a slave, as he does in the first ayat of Surah Al-Isra, as Allah says, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. Allah says, سبحان, glory be to the one who has taken his slave on the night journey from al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca to the Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, the area of which he has blessed it, so that he could see sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the ayat or the signs of his Lord. Indeed, he is a Sami'ul Basir. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as some of the ulama say, that here Allah is talking about blessing his servant sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his slave with that which no other prophet before him was blessed with. And this is the mi'raj of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Allah chose to call him a slave when mentioning this virtue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed his slave with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama, they show that this shows that the highest or the greatest title of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he is a slave of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, just as Allah mentions in Surah Al-Furqan verse number 1, tabarak alladhi nazzal al-furqan ala abdihi liyakuna lil'alamin nadhira, and blessed be he, the one who has revealed the Furqan. And this is another name of the Quran, the Furqan, or as they call it in English, the criterion, that which distinguishes right from wrong, good from bad, Jannah from the hellfire, Tawheed from shirk, halal from haram, Sunnah from bid'ah, and onwards, distinguishing between the things. Blessed be the one who sent his Furqan to his slave, so that it would be a warner, so that he could be a warner to all of the worlds. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling him a slave also with the mentioning of two of the things that he has given his messenger with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he hasn't given any prophet before him, and that is the book, the miracle of the Quran, the only revelation that has been preserved intact and is going to be that way until Yawm al-Qiyamah, as Allah tells us, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun, in Surah Al-Hijr verse number 9. Indeed, we sent down the dhikr, and indeed we are the guardians over it. The brother was mentioning, as I translated the word ayah, as a sign and not as a verse in Quran, as the word ayah, it has at least three meanings that I know. The ayah, it means a verse in the Quran. That's one of the meanings, and it's the most popular meaning of the word ayah. The other meaning, ayah, is a sign. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us signs in the creation, and Allah calls them ayat. as the trees, the sun, the moon, water. These are signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing His oneness. And the Arabic word is also called ayah. And the other meaning of the word ayah is any piece of information. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Preach whatever you have learned from me, even if it's one ayah, meaning one piece of information. So the word ayah in Arabic, it has particular meanings, and we know the meaning according to the context that it's used in. In Suratul Kaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a slave, as he says, Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab wa lam yaj'al lahu iwaja. All praise is due to Allah, the one who has revealed to his slave the book, and he hasn't made any crookedness in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Najm, verse number 10, describes him as a slave, as he says, فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبِدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. And he has revealed to his slave whatever he has revealed to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many verses, as we've seen from the book, the Quran, has described Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a slave, and we describe him as a slave, as our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala has described him, and as he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us to call him a slave. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى عيسى بن مريم or Ibn Maryam, فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدٌ فَقُولُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith says, do not praise me or glorify me the way that the Jews and the Christians have praised the son of Mary, the son of Maryam. Indeed, I am only a slave. So I command you to say the slave of Allah and his messenger. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us, after Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has taught us, as we mentioned earlier, not to take our scholars and our leaders as lords besides Allah, nor to take our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a lord besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by worshipping the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he commands us not to glorify him, not to raise him to a status that he's not worthy of, as the Jews and the Christians have raised their prophets to the status that they're not worthy of by worshipping them and taking them as gods and deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am only a slave, and I command you to say the slave of Allah and his messenger. So the Shaykh's statement, and Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran in Surah Al-Fath, in the last verse, and I think that's verse number 29, he says, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him the messenger of Allah. And as in the previous weeks, when we were talking about belief in the messenger, or in the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have mentioned many verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have called his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a messenger. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, and that we believe that Muhammad is Allah's slave and Allah's messenger. And there are too many texts to say this, and we know that Islam is based on the five pillars, and one of them is to bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. He was sent with the guidance and the religion of truth, or the guidance and the deen of truth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions for us in Surah At-Tawbah, verses number 32 and 33, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَيَأْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. And they want to put out the light of Allah with their mouths, but Allah refuses except to complete His light, even if the kafirs hate this. And He is the one who has sent His messenger with guidance and the deen of truth and the religion of truth, so that it may prevail over all of the deen, all of the other religions, even if the mushrikun hate it or detest it. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the verses with the same meaning, though the wording is slightly different, in Surah Al-Saff, verses number 8 and 9, as Allah says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولُهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. They want to put out the light of Allah with their mouths, and Allah will complete His light, even though the kafirs hate it. He is the one who sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth, with the deen of truth, deenul haq, so that it may prevail over all of other religions, even though the mushrikun hate it. This is what I wanted to present as an explanation of the statement of the Shaykh, and Muhammad and Allah Azza wa Jal is one deity. There is no deity to be worshipped in truth except Him. He is witrun samad. He has not taken a marriage partner or a son, and Muhammad is His slave and His messenger, and He was sent with guidance and the religion of truth, or with the deen of truth, or the way of life of truth. Wa subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, walhamdulillah.